Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss the surprising performances from the Panthers and Eagles and debate the future of Mike Tomlin. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the What Do They Know podcast. Week 13 in the NFL season is just about done. We got one game left. Had a full slate this week. We had Thursday games, we had Friday games, we had Sunday, and now we finish it off with a dud on Monday Night Football. Patriots and Giants this week. So we'll see. Jackson Dart's back. But Nick and Jeff back with you as always. Hope y'all had a great week. Hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving and ate way too much food. I fasted for what felt like a month so that I could devour some pecan pie.
Cheat day, huh?
Oh, my God, dude. Best. It's like my favorite. I think it's my favorite dessert ever.
Really?
Of all pecan pie, dude. Oh, phenomenal.
Does someone specifically goat, have to make it?
The goat of pies. So I've only ever had Christie's aunt's pecan pie because she's a really good baker. She pretty much brings all the pies for Thanksgiving. And I had it literally for the first time. It's the first time I've ever had pecan pie in my life. Was, I want to say, two Thanksgivings ago.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Where have you been all my life?
Exactly.
I hear you.
So then I made Christy text her like a month ago and say the only thing Nick wants for Thanksgiving is pecan pie. So it lived up to the hype.
Right.
I got to say, I devoured that pecan pie. So it was a good day.
Perfect.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I just ate low, to be honest with you. I got two more weekends to myself before I take off back to Arizona, and I'm surrounded by nieces, nephews, brother, sister, mom. You know, I won't have any alone time for a while. So I am taking my time to, you know, chillax.
I feel like that's every bachelor's dream, is to do what you did this weekend.
Just nothing.
Which is absolutely nothing. Sit in bed, watch a movie, watch sports. You're like, hey, I got up and went and got pizza.
Yep.
Dude.
Yep.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. I'm ahead of my time.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. But good. Well, hope y'all had as good of a Thanksgiving as that guy did.
Absolutely.
So we are going to kick it off with top stories as we do every week. Lots to go over. I feel like we say that every week.
Yeah.
But that's because there's just so much parody in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
But I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, no, I think two of the biggest results were the Carolina Panthers, you know, surprisingly, with the victory over L.A.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't think anybody predicted that one. The Rams were just steamrolling everybody right now. They're the class of the NFL right now. But Carolina just hovering around 500 all throughout the year. I mean, they've been up and down all year. They played really, really well. They played really, really not so well. To me, it was a stunner. I'm not sure what happened there. Matthew Stafford had an off day, two interceptions to go with his two TDs. But, I mean, that's double the amount of interceptions he had all year.
Yeah.
He hadn't thrown an interception for, 10 weeks, I believe. So, to me, it's one of those outlier games for the Rams. I'm not going to look too critically at it. But for Carolina, this is a huge, you know, motivational win. Feather in the cap to Dave Canales and Bryce Young. To me, that whole team was put ready to play, and they came out on their own home turf and you know, delivered what they needed to do. Offensively, Bryce Young was a quarterback when he needed to be.
Was a quarterback.
I've been critical of Bryce Young as a quarterback, to be honest with you. I mean, but two of his touchdown passes came on fourth down.
Yeah.
One to Jalen Coker and the other one to Tet McMillan. So he was clutch when he needed to be. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dattle, those guys can contribute 35 carries put together. That's a game plan if I've ever seen one, to be honest. They Carolina, as I said, they know who they are. They know their limitations. But Bryce Young, if he can, you know, pull out some magic like this every once in a while, I mean, Carolina can stun anybody, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like they go as he goes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, a common sense statement, but like, you've found that the games that he plays well are when they have the surprising outcomes, and the games that he does not play well are when they lose. And then we've already talked about how when the Panthers lose, they lose bad.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
Right.
So, you know, they're the most confusing team to me. I mean, you use the word enigma all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like they are
the definition.
100%.
Yep.
I mean, what does that put them at? 6-5 or 6-6?
7-6.
7-6, excuse me. Oh, because they haven't had a bye yet.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, they're right there with Tampa, which is crazy to even
think. They're fighting for the division right now.
It's insane.
That's crazy to me.
So, I did not, of all the games, actually did really well in our ESPN picks this week.
Yeah, way to go.
And that was one of the two or three that I got wrong this week, which I would venture to guess most people did.
Yeah, I think if we look back on it, I think it's like 98% or 99% of people probably picked the Rams on that game. I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of America was like, the Panthers, please.
Dude,
please.
No shot.
I
would have bet my mortgage on the Rams.
Yep.
Like, so, but that's why casinos make money.
That's why casinos make money. Yep. And then, I mean, the next one, we've talked at premium with about the Eagles and their whole, almost implosion amongst themselves. But I mean, the Eagles being in the state that they are right now is crazy to me. Losing to the Bears, I mean, the Bears are looking to be a very good team right now. They are definitely the definition of confidence. Ben Johnson, obviously, he's probably my leading candidate right now for coach of the year, because I don't think anybody really predicted the Bears to be as good as they are right now, or as winning as they are right now. Last year, I thought they were going to be, a 500 team last year, but and honestly, this year they've taken that step where I kind of imagine they should have been. Baron Caleb Williams not being, having any setbacks in terms of his development. But last year was obviously a disappointment, but this year, Ben Johnson, it goes to show how much coaching really gets a team going. Obviously, Ben Johnson taking off his shirt and rallying the troops after the game, that's a man of the people right there.
Yeah.
That's a coach that's loved in that locker room. And honestly, what the Eagles are doing right now is tough to watch, because I feel like that defense got kind of ran on by the Bears.
Oh, not kind of.
Yeah.
They ran for almost 300 yards on
that. Yeah, Kyle Monongai and DeAndre Swift.
Both had over 100 yards.
It was insane to watch, because we talked about Vic Fangio's defense there in Philadelphia being kind of like the stone that you can always rely on in Philadelphia. Obviously, that offense has had its share of issues since the beginning of the year, to be honest with you, but that defense has always been rock steady. No, they got throttled by the Chicago Bears rushing attack, and honestly, Caleb Williams didn't really have to do much of anything. I mean, he threw 36 times, but he only completed 17 times, 154 yards, one TD pass, and one interception. I mean, that's not anything that's you're gonna look at a stat line and be like, oh, that team won. But I mean, you look at Kyle Monongai, 22 attempts, 130 yards, and a TD. Swift, 18 attempts, 125 yards, and a TD. That's your bread and butter right there, and that defense just got worn out.
Yeah, and you just don't see that with the defensive line of the Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean, the final score was 24-15, and I really don't even think it was that close.
Mm.
I think the Bears just completely worked them.
Yeah.
Completely dominated. Their offense, the Eagles' offense, is downright atrocious.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they can do. I read today that Stefanski, the heck is his name, the head coach,
Nick Sirianni.
Thank you, Sirianni. said that Petullo is going to keep the play calling duties.
I don't even see how you can.
I don't
at this point.
They're
to be
doing
honest
it.
With you.
They're doing it. He announced it today, so I don't know how. I don't know why he thinks that that's okay, and that the way that they're continuing is going to fix itself.
Yeah.
But they are so boring, so vanilla on offense. They don't do anything. They don't motion. They don't try and confuse you. Like, they just literally line up and think they're going to be better than you and overpower you, and they have proven that they are not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when it gets to a point where your head coach is announcing who's doing play calling duties, I think that's more of a hot seat take for the offensive coordinator right there. Like, hey, some changes are going to be coming if nothing changes. And, I mean, honestly, some changes need to be happening, because I feel like that offensive coordinator, if he could run the tush push 10 times in a row, I feel like he would, to be honest with you. It's just one of those offenses that there's nothing is looking fluid. Barkley is looking like a shell of himself from last year.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I feel like it's become like the A.J. Brown show for no reason. Obviously, he's had his fair share of, outburst. But, I mean, that is just not what your offense is designed to do primarily. I mean, if you want to take a shot over here and again, I mean, you have two explosive weapons in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But your bread and butter is Saquon Barkley, and it should be, and it should continue to be. And, you know, if you want to throw some notches in there that Kellen Moore was doing last year, I mean, obviously we always go back to last year winning the Super Bowl. What more do you need? Obviously, this year, I don't think they're going to be anywhere close to a Super Bowl, sniffing in Super Bowl. Right now, they're probably going to be fighting for their division with Dallas rolling around. To me, it's just crazy to think that this is the state that the Philadelphia Eagles are in. I mean, I think it was like week four where we talked about their potential implosion.
Yeah.
It's all coming into fruition right now.
And it's just curious to me that they're having these issues when it's not like he was brought in from outside of the organization. Like, he was an assistant under Kellen Moore last year.
Right.
So you would think that it would somewhat be plug and play. Like, I know every guy's going to have their own philosophy, their own set of play calls, their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you were literally there firsthand. You saw the rushing record. You saw the Super Bowl win. You saw how dominant they were running the ball and only really throwing it when they absolutely had to.
Yeah.
That's really what they did.
Right.
And it seems like this year it's almost 100% flipped. Like, they throw the ball and then they sprinkle in some runs every now and then.
Yeah. Barkley, just 13 for 56.
Dude, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely zero sense. And, I mean, it's got to change. Because, I mean, this dude, I don't know if you saw it, this dude's house is getting egged.
I didn't see that.
In Jersey. Yeah, no, his house is getting egged. Also, Eagles fans, poor job by you. Bad job. You know, egg a dude's house over football.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just Eagles fans, I think, are ready to explode.
Yeah.
Because of the play calling. I mean, you ask anybody, nobody has a concern about this team other than the play caller.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be the only issue that Eagles fans and most analysts, honestly, are concerned about is just the lack of creativity around offense.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know where you go from here if you're the Eagles. I mean, who do you give play calling duties to? I mean, I'm not exactly entirely sure. But honestly, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they go offensive coordinator shopping in the off season. That is what it's come down to. I feel like there's from seeing this, I can't find any excuse or any sort of positivity that the offensive coordinator is relying any hope.
This feels very similar to me to 2 years ago when they started out like 10-1 or whatever it was and lost like 8 straight to end the season and then got bounced in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very, very similar. It just feels like all of a sudden they are a dysfunctional team that can't regroup in time.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, they have somewhat of an easy schedule. I mean, they're 3 out of their last 5 games. They play the Commanders twice, and they play the Raiders. So, okay. I mean, they could figure it out. They got the Bills sprinkled in there. They got this week they go to the Chargers Monday night, who may or may not have Justin Herbert. So, right. Who knows? But I don't know, man. I really don't have faith that they're all of a sudden going to figure it out.
Yeah, and even if they do show out for, you know, those 3 games, I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to be prepared for anybody they face in the first round of the playoffs, to be honest with you. And that's a different level of competition than the Raiders or the Commanders. But, I mean, as soon as they find someone, a team like, with a good or even great running game, like the Bears, I think they're going to get worn down really, really quickly. I mean, this defense has kind of been the solidifying foot right there, the stronghold for the team in its entirety for the whole season. And I mean, if they start breaking down, you can kiss your season goodbye.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right. So for me, I think it's time that we start discussing where Mike Tomlin's going to be next year. Because it's not going to be in Pittsburgh.
Probably not.
I think that yesterday really was kind of the nail in the coffin for me, as far as the fact that this team not only is not going to make the playoffs, it might break their 21-year streak, I think it is, of having a winning record, which is just insane. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a shell of himself. Mm. The dude is playing with one hand. It looked like he either broke his nose or damaged his nose yesterday. He was bloodied. I saw the funniest tweet. It showed a close-up of him on the sideline with his bloody nose, and he had his hood on, and he just looked dazed. And it looked like, do you see it, where they said it looked like he was one of the bad characters from Home Alone?
One of the burglars like he just tried to, like, rob.
Oh, my God, it just made me laugh McAllister's so hard, because it's so true. He looked rough.
Yep.
He looked dazed and confused and old and injured.
Yeah.
So you talk about an offense with no creativity. I mean, my God. They looked horrible.
The problem is that offense has its limitations, I feel like. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. And Jalen Warren, I mean, you can only do so much in your running game. I mean, when it comes to the Eagles, at least you have Jalen Hurts. He's at least mobile. And you have some weapons on the outside there. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, DK Metcalf is your number one wide receiver. I mean, I don't know.
He had three catches yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not sold. So, to me, I mean, they have their limitations. I mean, Mike Tomlin has always gotten the best out of the guys, and honestly, that's probably worked against them in some cases, because you're never good enough to win the Super Bowl, but never bad enough to really get a franchise-altering, you know, draft pick. But when it comes to this case, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base is kind of tired of laying in mediocrity, just being mid the entire time. But, I mean, he's had a great run. I mean, it's been, what, 20 years, close to 20 years that he's been there. At some point, the franchise just needs a new voice, I feel like. And this is probably the best opportunity that you're probably going to get to you know, move on from Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers is back to calling people out in his press conferences.
I saw that.
He called his receivers out for not showing up to film studies. Mm-hmm. He called them out for running the wrong route. Specifically, Jonnu Smith said he checked to an inbreaker. Jonnu ran an outbreaker, or vice versa. I don't remember which one, but basically, he ran the wrong route. I don't know who this makes look worse. Does that make sense? Who mm-hmm. is it? Does this look worse for Mike Tomlin, or does this look worse for Aaron Rodgers, that you potentially came in and ruined this man's winning record streak?
You came in and ruined his record.
I mean, I don't know who it looks worse for. My first instinct is Rodgers, just because of how it seemed. Like, yesterday was like the first time, and granted, I haven't watched a ton of Steelers tape this year, other than obviously week one in person, where he looked much better.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like yesterday was the first day where I'm like, okay, here's a reminder that Father Time is undefeated.
Right.
He really looked like he was a 42 or 43 year old quarterback, whatever he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I feel like Steelers fans have kind of been rooting for Mike Tomlin to, you know, kind of hit the road for a little while.
I'd say probably the last 2 years, two, 3 years.
Yeah. And I mean,
careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say.
Nope, you never know what's gonna hit next, to be honest with you. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if he gets Mike Tomlin fired, I mean, I feel like in the short term, Pittsburgh Steelers fans might look at him as the same. Like, this is what happened. This is what we needed to, you know, hit that refresh. But honestly, I don't know. It's just been. It's been terrible. It's been a terrible draw of the hand for Steelers fans in general, because you have a great coach. I still think Mike Tomlin is a great coach.
Agreed.
It's just one of those things where you just don't have the talent to really surround him. And, I mean, there can be all sorts of issues there. I mean, quarterback issues have obviously been the predominant one. When you shuffle through Mason Rudolph and Russell Wilson and, you know, Justin Fields, it's just one of those things where, regardless of what you do and how much you elevate players as a coach, you have your limitations as well. So
here's one thing I'm going to say about the Mike Tomlin of it all.
Mm.
If I'm the New York Giants,
the Giants,
I am giving them whatever draft capital they want. They being the Steelers, right? Which is tough to say, considering, you know, it looks like they're 2-10 right now. It looks like they're going to have a top five, maybe even a top three or four pick.
Mm-hmm.
But people can disagree with me. That's fine. I would much rather trade that pick for a proven Hall of Fame coach than risk it on a 20-something-year-old who may or may not become anything. That's my thing on it. So if they want a first-round pick, I am sending that to them as quickly as they possibly will accept it.
You're pulling a Denver Broncos.
1,000%. 1,000%. Because really? Now look at the Broncos.
Right. Yep.
I'm giving up a first-round pick. I'm giving up a first and a fourth. I don't really give a crap. And I'm just saying the Giants because, you know, they have a vacancy. They have – seems like they have their quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have a good defense. Like, they have the pieces. I really think the Giants, when all is said and done, is going to be the most desirable opening this year.
It should be.
So they're the first team that comes to mind. But this applies to anybody. Mm-hmm. I would throw my draft picks as fast as I can to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah,
assuming he agrees, right? Assuming he wants it's somewhere that he wants to go. Assuming he even wants to keep coaching, which I feel like we say this every year with him.
Yeah,
but I just to me the sure thing because he's a sure you know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. He's a sure thing. He's been doing it for 20 years. The sure thing is so much more valuable to me than risking it on a first round pick on a you know like I said a 20-year-old kid who may turn out to be great and also may not turn out to be great.
I mean, that's fascinating to me to just think about. I mean, right now they are picking a top five pick?
I think they're number three right now, three or four.
Yeah, because I think it's Tennessee, then the Saints, then probably the Raiders or the Giants or something like that. But, I mean, I probably wouldn't go that far in terms of trading that pick, to be honest with you.
You don't need the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? So that's even more of a reason to do it, right? I could see the argument like, hey, man, we have a top three pick. We need to find our franchise quarterback. That doesn't apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're going to – you need a really good wide receiver. You need a really good defensive end.
You got Malik Nabers coming correct. In. You got Scadaboo.
I think especially when it applies to the Giants, it makes a ton of sense.
Honestly, at that point, I'd probably just trade back. And get more picks and then just trade one of the first round picks you get out of it. And then,
yeah, I mean,
because honestly, I feel like any first round pick might get a coach of, especially a coach of Mike Tomlin's stature where he might be on the outs anyway. Obviously, Sean Payton was a little bit different because he was coming out of retirement. But Mike Tomlin, himself, I mean, that's a guy I feel like I've heard zero indication of that he wants to retire or
right.
step away from the game or at all or anything like that. But for the Giants, I'm thinking about fit here. I feel like the new admiration is having an offensive guy for your fresh quarterback. We're seeing it with Bo Nix and Sean Payton. We're seeing it with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. I'm just wondering if defensive-minded guy like Mike Tomlin would mesh well with, you know, kind of like the swagger that Scadaboo and Jackson Dart are kind of throwing around there in New York. I mean, we talked about it in an earlier episode where Jackson Dart and Scadaboo kind of personify New York City as a whole. That's just their sort of aura, and I'm not sure if Mike Tomlin would... I mean, he'd be great for the organization in general, especially for that defense. I mean, if he could hand the keys over to the offense to somebody else and just let Jackson Dart play, I mean, and he just handles the defense, I mean, that would be phenomenal. That'd be chemistry at work. But I'm just wondering whether all of that would mesh because I honestly, during his whole entire time there in Pittsburgh, I can't recall one single player having that sort of, you know, level of swag that they showed there in Pittsburgh. Obviously, Antonio Brown.
I was just going to say, Brown or
he had his things after Pittsburgh.
Le'Veon Bell would be the only one the only two that really come to mind.
Yeah, they kind of showed their almost true colors after they left Pittsburgh, but I think they were definitely hampered down by the Mike Tomlin regime. I'd be curious to see how that happened.
Yeah,
how that worked.
I'm sold on that happening. If I'm the Giants, I have to make that happen. That's my first call.
Right.
You start with the Steelers. You say, what's your price?
Right.
And you go from there.
What?
For me.
Right.
And then my second story, we need to wrap our mind around the facts that the Detroit Lions are not going to be in the playoffs.
Ooh, Detroit Lions.
Detroit, which is crazy. Like, I mean, we could go on and on about all the teams that are on the outside looking in right now, but
yeah.
Detroit is certainly one of them. They had a very, to me, not to you, but to me, a very surprising loss on Thanksgiving against the Packers. Cost me my parlay. yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. So that puts them to 7-5 So they're the eighth seed in the division, or excuse me, in the conference. Not only are they the eighth seed, but they're third in their own division.
Yeah.
Behind the Packers and then the Bears.
Yep.
So to make matters worse, right, they've been kind of, I don't know if funky is a good word, inconsistent on offense.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell took over play calling duties, what, 2-3 weeks ago? Gave him a little bit of a spark, but this week, you know, they didn't have it. And then to make matters worse, Amon-Ra St. Brown had an ankle sprain. He's week to week. I read today that he's pushing to play, but he didn't practice this week.
Yeah.
Or he didn't practice today, and they're playing Thursday against the Cowboys. So, I mean, he's an essential part of their offense. If he misses any time, I mean, I know Jameson Williams has stepped up and has been better, but that to me is crucial that he's on the field for them to have sustained success and for Goff to have what I would refer to as his security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they already lost Sam LaPorta for at least the regular season.
Yeah.
And their schedule's no picnic. So they play the Cowboys at home, and then they go at the Rams, and then they host the Steelers. Then they go at the Vikings, at the Bears. So, I mean, you're talking about two to four playoff teams.
Yeah.
Because you could make an argument that the Steelers and the Cowboys could potentially be in the playoffs. But the Rams and the Bears, for sure.
Yeah.
So that game at the Bears, week 18, is juicy. I don't think it's going to be for the division, but it very well could be for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I just think that there's too many good teams ahead of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got the Seahawks are a wild card. The 49ers are a wild card. The Packers, and they've already played the Packers twice. Like, they can't gain any ground on them, at least head to head. So I never thought, sitting here week one or even in the preseason, that we'd be discussing the Lions not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think it's a real possibility.
Yeah. I feel like they lost their swagger last year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that game against the Commanders in the playoffs, I feel like really,
it just destroyed them.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, they just haven't looked the same since. But, I mean, this year, losing Ben Johnson, I mean, talk about a coordinator having that much of an effect on your team. Their semblance of an offense just hasn't looked the same as last year. Jared Goff, I mean, he's still throwing the ball at an insane rate, I feel like, and yet it's not coming out with the same results. Like you said, Sam Brown is a huge part of their offense, so is Sam LaPorta, and they're both going to be out for, I mean, Sam Brown isn't going on IR, but like you said, he's week to week. That, I mean, whenever you have a discussion about IR, you're thinking 2 to 3 weeks
sure.
At least. So, they have a lot of weapons. Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery and Jameson Williams is kind of taking a step up this year. But still, I don't think that's enough to cover the losses of St. Brown and Sam LaPorta. It's sad to see, because Detroit's one of those teams that I feel like you pull for, because they've kind of struggled for as a franchise for so long.
Yeah.
That's kind of why you were rooting for them last year, but then they just kind of imploded. But this year, it just seems that they've kind of lost an identity ever since Ben Johnson left, and they're trying to reenact everything that they did last year, but it's just not working out. I mean, they had a lot of good fortune last year. Obviously, they go on fourth down at an insane rate. I mean, it's just one of those things that evens out eventually. And honestly, that offense, as great as it was last year, it is a year older. It is another year in the league where the opposing defenses have seen tape, have seen film on it. They know how to, scheme around it. So it's just, especially with Ben Johnson now, obviously, and everything becomes a little bit more simplistic. I don't think they've, been as crafty or as creative. I think if you compare both the Bears and Detroit offenses as a whole, I think you'd see a lot more tricky plays coming out of Chicago than Detroit. But to me, overall, it is hard to envision them not in the playoffs, but I think that is kind of where we're going.
Yeah. I'm curious to get your opinion. Mm-hmm. So the more I watch them, the more I don't understand their running back timeshare. specifically, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs has to be on the field.
Oh, absolutely.
He I can't wrap my mind, because from what I've seen, again, I don't watch who are we talking about? The Lions. I don't watch the Lions every single game, right? Yeah. But I watch them a fair amount. They're on national TV, right? They're on a lot. They're on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It seems to me, for the most part, they literally go every other drive. Mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's Montgomery's turn, he's on the field the whole drive.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, Gibbs might come in for an occasional pass play, but for the majority of, let's just call it a 9 or 10 play drive, he's not on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
He has to be on the field. He is a game-changing talent. I mean, he can take your 2-yard dump off mm-hmm. and take it to the house.
Right.
Not to say that Montgomery's talented too, but he's not Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right.
It's no knock on him. He would be... Most teams would be lucky to have him as their number one back. I think he's very good, but that's just how much better I think Jahmyr Gibbs is. So I can't wrap my mind around him not being on the field.
Yeah.
Not to say that that's their only issue and that's going to solve everything, but mm-hmm. I mean, you're struggling offensively and you're going to go a whole drive without your arguably your most dynamic playmaker being off the field. I can't get on board with that.
Mm-hmm. I think they've kind of illusioned themselves to think they had enough weapons to supplement the fact to put in David Montgomery. Obviously, St. Brown, Sam Laporta, David Montgomery. When I think of David Montgomery, I don't think, you know, pass catching back. No.
He does every once in a while,
but that's not his forte. Right. That's not like Jahmyr Gibbs. Which with both St. Brown and Laporta out, I don't think they have much of a choice but to have Jahmyr Gibbs run a full game. Obviously, we think about it, you know, trying to keep him fresh or something. You run a lot of plays. David Montgomery is that punishing back. What Jahmyr Gibbs is more that elusive creativity, that shifty back. And I understand the mentality, but when you're taking out your most dynamic player, arguably, you know, right up there with St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Laporta, you're just doing a disservice to yourself. But I think that maybe with the injuries with Laporta and St. Brown, maybe this is going to force their hands and make them realize, hey, we do need Gibbs Ettler.
I would even put him out at receiver.
Yeah.
I would even put him in the slot until St. Brown comes back. Put him out there. Give him some freaking basic routes, some 5-yard curls, some option routes where he can either take it in or out, and let him work.
Yeah, put him on a third cornerback or like a slot cornerback or a linebacker. Yeah,
I was just going to say, get him matched up on a linebacker. Good God.
Yeah.
Like,
good night.
You got to make it. I mean, you know, who are we, right? Like, I mean, I'm sure Dan Campbell knows this. I'm sure their offense knows this. But, like, why aren't they doing it?
Right.
And I'm all for.
Why are they trying it?
I'm all for, you know, bringing Montgomery in on a third and short.
Yeah.
Right. Or a second and one. Right.
But right.
To eliminate him being Gibbs for a whole drive, I can't get on board with that. So that needs to change.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to Thursday to see how they look. Mm. And I also think it's a phenomenal matchup against the Cowboys. It's going to be a good game.
Yep.
All right. What are we overreacting to this week?
Overreactions. I think as a Jets fan, I think you're going to enjoy this one.
Oh, please.
Oh, man. Mike McDaniel should keep his job as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. They have won 3 in a row.
Yep.
4 or 5.
Yep.
They are 5-7.
Yep.
And he had every right to mail it in. You know what? See you suckers somewhere else.
They lost their best player.
They lost their best Tyree player, Tyreek Hill. You know, Mike McDaniel is pulling a rabbit out of his hat, I feel like.
I told you guys 2 weeks ago. I said, watch when they beat whoever it was and then the Saints.
Nope.
They're going to have a very outside shot. Oh, because I said they got the Jets next.
Yeah, because they had a very easy schedule.
Yes.
You know, the bottom hash of the playoff picture in the AFC isn't, you know, as formidable as the NFC side of things. But, yeah, I mean, at 5-7, they're definitely still in the hunt.
They got to win every game.
Yeah.
But it's not to say that it's – I mean, they somewhat did this last year, if you remember. Tua got hurt. He missed a very large chunk of the middle of the season. And then they finished hot. I want to say they finished like 8-9. Or 7-10, like they finished the year very, very strong.
Yeah.
And this year, I mean, they were just an abomination.
Yeah.
And they look completely different offensively than they did the first few weeks. Devon Achane is a stud.
Yeah.
That dude he needs to get the, talk about getting the ball as much as possible. Also for my fantasy team, he needs to get the ball as much as possible. But yeah, I think that it's not crazy.
We were talking about Mike McDaniel being the first.
What's the record they need to get to?
From that start that they had,
7-10.
Honestly, 7-10 might keep you there. 8-9 for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
8-9 for sure. 7-10 after that start though. I'd keep him another round. I mean, the thing is with Achan is like he knows where to go. Mike McDaniel knows where to go with the football. It's not like he's trying to do something, try to see if something works here and there. No, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know, sort of thing. And Mike McDaniel has kept it simple. He's simplified it all for Tua. I feel like maybe at the beginning of the year he's maybe a little bit more complex on Tua, and that's why he was throwing all those interceptions. But Tyreek Hill, you're losing your best receiver. I feel like he had every reason to, just mail it in. He was in discussion to be the first head coach fired this year.
I thought for sure he was going to be the first coach fired.
And he's sitting there 5-7 and taking advantage of the weak schedule that he had.
Now, the only thing that he has working against him is new GMs like to pick their guy.
Yeah.
Right? And they fired their GM, 3-4 weeks ago? So
before this win streak, I feel like.
So when this new, whoever it is that they hire, I'll be really curious if they kind of follow the mentality of, hey, I want to bring in my guy, or if they want to give him another year, right? Yeah, maybe he wants to come in and say, hey, I'll give you one good year to see what you can do. Because I think it's a package deal, personally. I think when Mike McDaniel goes, Tua goes, or vice versa. Just because those two, from a scheme and from a system standpoint, seemed too intertwined.
Bam.
I fully believe, and I could be wrong, and I love Tua as a person, I truly believe without Mike McDaniel, he will be horrible. So I think that if one goes, the other has to go.
Makes sense.
And I don't know if Miami is really in a position to go quarterback shopping right now after they just paid him.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other conversation. But that's the one thing I could see them kind of or Mike McDaniel specifically having going against him is this new GM who could potentially, want a fresh start and bring in his own guy. But I don't think it's an overreaction. I think they'll win this week. The Jets are playing better. The Jets always, for whatever reason, they can't play Miami. they can't beat them. So I think they're going to be 6-7 into the home stretch.
Woo.
After weren't they 2-7, 1-7? I think they were either 2-7 or 1-7.
2, 3, 4 of their last five. That means 1-6, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, 1-6. They were 1-6.
Yeah. I mean, not for nothing. This just goes to show you what a vote of confidence does because, they lost that Thursday night game to the Ravens. They looked horrible. That was when everybody said, okay, it's a long week. He's gone. And the owner came out and said, that's when they fired the GM, but they said, we're sticking with him.
Yeah.
And not to say that, McDaniel needed the rah-rah, kumbaya, hey, we got your back sort of speech. But maybe just that little vote of confidence or even the sheer fact that he was able to, mentally not worry about getting fired. Was able to help him perform. I don't know, but I'm really curious to see where they finish because I brought it up 2-3 weeks ago that I thought it would not be crazy if they were sitting there in the 7 seed when the season is over.
Yeah, Carolina and Miami are the enigmas of the NFL to me.
Correct.
I have no idea what sort of team you're going to get every week, but you know what? I'm all for Mike McDaniel. I like him as a guy. I think he's hilarious, to be honest with you. I think he has a dry sense of humor that I feel like no one else gets or respects, but you know what? I like him. I like him for being a little quirky.
I think he's a hilarious dude. I think him driving by the Bills bar after they beat them was like the all-time troll job. Him just looking out his window like at the Bills bar in Miami was just phenomenal. He's quirky. He's a weird guy, but I tend to like him.
Yeah.
Hopefully sixth round.
Honestly, Miami might be the one team I wouldn't be surprised if they take a quarterback in the first round, even if they paid Tua. They'd be one of those teams that just did it because the new GM and the whole thing, but just thinking about it. But I say give Mike McDaniel another try.
Let's do it.
Bring him out.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So this first one is kind of a homer segment. I don't even care. Did you have another one, by the way?
No.
Okay. If you root for your team to lose, for a high draft pick, you're a fraudulent fan.
A fraudulent? Oh, we're calling out fans.
You're
here.
A fraudulent fan.
Wow.
Okay, so I've seen so many Jets fans over the last 24 hours pissed off that they won. Go kick rocks, okay? Go play in traffic. Go pound salt. Uh-huh. If you are unhappy that your team won yesterday instead of getting a high draft pick, uh-huh. I don't want to hear you speak ever. I was ecstatic that the Jets won yesterday.
Mm.
Okay? And I'll take it a step further. I think that the Jets found their head coach and the GM of their future.
Mm.
I am loving what I've seen the last 3-4 weeks. Win-loss record aside, I've loved how they play. I've loved the fact that they've had no penalties. And I have probably the part that I'm most excited about, and the reason I have the most faith that they're going to figure it out, is because, dude, I think they found themselves a GM.
Mm.
Like the trades that he's made and the guys that he have brought in, almost as what people would consider like throw-ins,
mm-hmm.
and in these drafts or these trades, have been phenomenal. Right? They traded for John Mechie from the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Dude never saw the field. He had a phenomenal game last week when we were in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
A.D. Mitchell.
Yep.
Everybody thought he was a throw-in in the Sauce Gardner trade. He had 8 catches for over 100 yards and a touchdown yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Jawan Briggs, defensive tackle, making a huge impact on the defensive line with him and Harrison Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted A.Z. Thomas in the third round, who, after they traded Sauce, he's now their starting corner and is phenomenal. Malachi Moore, their fourth round safety out of Alabama, led the team in tackles yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are making all of these personnel decisions that give me a ton of faith, or at least excitement, that they're going to figure it out. And I even got to the point today, I was talking to somebody on Twitter who's a Jets fan, like, my first choice is not Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
By any means, the Jets are linked to him in a lot of these, like, online Twitter debates, whatever,
right?
As his next landing spot. I even mentally got to the point today where I'm like, you know what, if that's the decision that they make, I have faith that it's going to work, because I have been really, really encouraged with what I saw yesterday. Winning in a game that I can't remember the last time the Jets have won in the rain, which I know sounds ridiculous, but like, they cannot win in the rain,
right?
The elements they pulled out a win. Go look up the numbers. I don't have the stats to back it up. They are elite on special teams.
Elite?
Elite. Chris Banjo, special teams coordinator of the year. Aaron Glenn's best hire so far.
Chris Banjo.
He came from Denver. So he was an assistant coach of some kind.
I feel like he was a player for the Saints, to be honest with you.
Maybe. Their special teams is elite. They have arguably one of the best punters. They average, their starting field position on kick returns is like the 37-yard line,
mm-hmm.
which is like top 5 in the NFL. They recovered a muffed punt yesterday at the 2. Like, they are their special teams is elite, which sounds ridiculous, but they have an advantage over almost anybody they play when it comes to special teams.
And what's Nick Folk's field goal
he has
ratio?
He missed one. He missed a 58-yarder yesterday.
How dare he?
I know. Cut the guy some slack.
No, he's like, been really
buddy,
good this
you're,
year.
You're good.
He's been really good
amazing.
This year.
He's an ageless wonder.
Yep.
So for any of you, Jets fans or anybody else, Browns fans, Titans fans that want your team to lose for draft picks, you are the worst kind of fan. Truly. Like we can joke. I'm sure I'll even make jokes. Oh, there go the Jets screwing up their draft stock. But at the end of the day, I want to win.
Yeah.
Like, I just.
That's the end goal.
Yeah, correct.
For sure.
You know, shout out Herm Edwards. You play to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, overall, like, even as a Saints fan, you look at these games and, you know, expectations are low. Obviously, and if they lose, you're like, oh, well, that's just another Sunday. But, I mean, if they win, you're like, yeah, absolutely, I'm on board with this. You know, well, you know, you start getting some confidence and some hope, some hopeful, you start seeing some hopeful futures in the crystal ball. But it's just one of those things where winning is what drives us to be fans, to be honest with you. And as much as, you know, the higher draft pick helps out or whatever, I mean, no one wants to draft that high, to be honest with you. If everyone had an opportunity to be like, you know, everyone gets put in the playoffs or you get the number one overall draft pick, put me in the playoffs, you know.
For sure.
Give me the opportunity to win the Super Bowl. So, to me, it's I agree with you. I don't think it's an overreaction. I, I, I think a lot of people say in jest, to be honest with you, and maybe some people may take it a little bit too far, but there are definitely fans out there that just, you know, if you're going to suck yeah. all the way. Go winless.
How miserable, though.
Yeah.
How miserable to be a fan and turn on your team and with the whole fact that you hope that they lose.
Yeah, that's at that point, why are you even watching?
Correct.
To be honest with you.
Why are you a fan?
Yeah.
Are you a fan? I don't know. But I'm excited, man. Like, they're 3-9, so I'm trying not to blow things out of proportion.
Right.
I think they got 2 wins left in them. I think they get to 5 wins.
Ooh.
2 out of their last 5 games, I think they could win. Arguably 3.
Uh-huh.
But I'm excited for what is coming, and mm-hmm. I think that AG's the guy. Like, yeah, I'm sold, and I think that I am entrusting in Darren Muji in whatever decisions he makes, whether it's a, because right now they went from 4th to 7th in the draft order right now.
Mm-hmm.
So more than likely to get one of the guys this year, they would need to trade up.
Yeah,
figure that out in the offseason.
Yeah.
Freaking win, build morale. You know, develop the guys or scout the guys that you need to scout, like A.D. Mitchell, like John Mechie, like these rookies on the defensive end, like your O-line.
Yeah, they have a lot of depth pieces there, which I feel like is the hardest thing to really find in terms of a team when you construct your team.
Yeah.
They're
the only team in the NFL this year that have played the same O-line every single game.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Only team in the NFL. So there's a lot to be excited about as a Jets fan, and I know I'm sitting here saying it as 3-9.
No.
I wanted to jump off the bandwagon / jump off a bridge two or three weeks ago, you know, during the trade deadline.
Right.
But I've really liked what I've seen the last few weeks.
Yeah.
I really have. So, all right.
Gotcha.
Now I want to do something fun.
Oh no.
I didn't tell you I was going to
do this.
No. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Oh boy.
So I want to, just for fun.
Okay.
I want to pick our division winners all over again.
Oh no.
So, and this is, and I say this for a specific reason. So, I'm going to go through each division and I'll give you my point being is, and I said at the beginning of the show, this has been the most fun season as a casual fan because there's no division lead that's more than 2 games.
Yeah.
So,
there's no runaways like the Bills and the Chiefs and
there's none.
From previous
the only 2 divisions that have a 2-game lead or more are the AFC East and the AFC West. Everybody else is either there's a tie or it's a 1-game lead or it's very, very, you know, it's very and there's some divisions where it's multiple teams. It's like three team race.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through and I'll tell you my thought after. But I think in the next few weeks, we're going to see a lot of changes.
OK.
Based on how certain teams are playing. So we'll start with maybe an easy one. The AFC East.
AFC East.
So the Pats are 10-2. The Buffalo's 2 games behind them at 8-4.
Okay.
Who do you got coming out of that division right now?
Patriots.
Agreed.
I just think they have the easier schedule.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right. AFC North, arguably what went from the best division in football to the worst division in football. So you have Baltimore and Pittsburgh at 6-6,
mm-hmm.
and then you have Cincinnati at 4-8.
I hate this one. I hate them because I hate all the teams. Baltimore has not looked good at all. Well, I mean, we saw them live, and they just looked terrible, and they look atrocious on offense. Steelers, obviously, we discussed their problems. I'm not a big believer in them. And Cincinnati, having Joe Burrow to run the table, you know, trying to force the hand like he did last year, but they still have that defense, to be honest with you. And I mean, yesterday
they've looked better.
I and that's the
thing. Last 2 or 3 weeks they've looked better, and I said that was going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing with yesterday. I mean, is that more of a testament of Cincinnati getting better? Is that just a testament of how bad Baltimore's offense is right now?
So you can say that, but even the week prior against the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
they played better. They mm-hmm. had a pick six off of Mac Jones. I think they gave up 25. What did I just say?
Drake May.
Might as well be Mac Jones.
Might as well be Mac Jones. It's like Mac Jones.
Hot take. No, Alpha Drake May.
Uh-huh.
They had a pick six against him, and they held New England down for an extended period of that game.
Yeah, it was a challenge for New England for sure.
Who are you taking?
What's Cincinnati's record right now?
4-8, so they're 2 games back.
Who do they have left in their schedule?
Oh, they have. I'll tell you, buddy.
I need the information.
They play the Bills this week,
oof.
Which to me, Once I read you the rest of the schedule, if they beat the Bills, they are going to win the division.
Okay. Let's see.
So they play the Bills, and then they play the Ravens again.
Ooh.
And then they finish the season Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns.
Oh, it's juicy. It's right there for the taking from Cincinnati.
So I already told you this. I put $10 2 weeks ago on the Bengals at plus 4,000 to win the division. So $10 to win 400. Dude, give me the Bengals.
Give me the
and
Bengals.
And not even because of that, because I truly believe they're all things considered, they're the best team playing the best right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, when you look at the overall fixtures of the teams, I think Cincinnati is in the best position, which is crazy.
Which is
because,
staggering.
Which is just silly.
It is.
Saying at 4-8.
It really is.
Give me the Bengals.
All right. AFC South. So, believe it or not, Jacksonville, 8-4 right now, in first place. The Colts are 8-4 in the wild card.
What a skid.
And the Texans are 7-5. They are the 8 seed right now. They are on the outside looking in.
Give me Houston.
Give me Houston as well. Okay. Agreed. The NFC East. Oh, excuse me. The West. AFC West. This one might be a little easier. So Denver's 2-2. 2-2. 10-2. The Chargers are in second place, two games back at 8-4.
Yeah, give me Denver.
Agreed. NFC East.
NFC East.
So the Eagles, 8-4. The Cowboys are only, I think it's technically a game and a half because they have that tie in there.
Yep.
They're 6-5-1, and the Eagles are 8-4.
This is another one where I'm going to have to look at the schedules. But
give me the Cowboys.
You think the Cowboys? Yeah, because Philadelphia, they still have that first-place schedule. And Dallas, I mean, this is something that's very similar with the Cincinnati Bengals in terms of their defense being the liability. But as long as they play even league average, to be honest with you, their offense is more than capable of winning some games for them. So, yeah, give me Dallas.
Wow.
Give me Dallas.
Right? It's crazy, right?
Yep.
All right, another great one, the NFC North.
NFC North.
Bears are 9-3. Green Bay's 8-3-1. So, you know, that tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Detroit, 7-5.
Yeah, and the Bears and the Packers play each other twice in 3 weeks. So, honestly, this is one of those where I'm picking the Packers.
You are?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm picking the Packers. I've loved the Packers ever since the Micah Parsons trade. And, I mean, I have them there as my preseason Super Bowl pick. So, I'll give them the division.
All right. I'm going with the Bears.
You're sticking with the Bears,
Sticking with the Bears. I'm slowly getting on the Bears bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know if Kelly Williams is enough.
I think they'll split with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Which will ultimately be enough to just squeak by, personally.
Because of that tie.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. NFC South. Tampa 7-5, Carolina 7-6. Do you see what I'm getting at with all of these close division races?
It's
phenomenal.
Yeah.
It is amazing for a fan right now to watch all of these games because every division there's at least two teams that are still legitimately in it.
Yeah. And that one, I'll stick with the Bucks. I just don't know what Carolina team is going to show up every week, to be honest.
I'm with you. I think the Bucs are slowly starting to get healthy.
Uh-huh.
Bucky Irving came back. Jalen McMillan's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Baker's only going to get healthier. And you never know what Carolina you're going to get.
Yeah,
so I'm with you. I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Yep.
All right. Arguably the best division after we just went through them all.
Rams.
Is that you're taking the Rams that easily?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So
the Rams are 9-3, the Seahawks are 9-3, and the Niners are 9-4.
Yeah. I think the Rams just have shown enough. I mean, we talked about maybe they're the scenario where they peak a little bit early, but honestly, I think they just have enough talent overall in that roster. That roster is just built differently from everyone else. Obviously Seattle, trounced Minnesota yesterday. But to me, the semblance of that team, the construction of it is just, it's mint. I like the Rams.
Okay. So I'll be honest. I was very close to putting pen to paper and writing Seahawks.
Mm.
But then I remembered that Sam Darnold can't play against the Rams.
Yeah.
And that's that's to me really what it came down to.
Do they still have a head-to-head matchup?
They do. It's 3 weeks from now. It's on Thursday Night Football.
Woo!
In Seattle. So when I was looking at the schedule, like, when do they play? I'm like, oh, they've got to play in Seattle still. Like, give me the Seahawks. But it's not a fluke thing. Darnold has shown he can't beat the Rams.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. So I'm with you, but that one was probably the toughest one for me.
Yeah.
To pick. So I went through that just to show, like, as I've already said, how insanely competitive the NFL is right now, mm-hmm. and how much fun it is, and the fact that how many did we pick to win the division that aren't currently winning the division with 5 weeks left. At least three.
Talk about hot and cold.
Cowboys, Texans, Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those were the three that we picked.
Yeah.
All to come back from really the basement.
Yeah.
And win their divisions. It's insane. So it's super fun right now.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Sorry for springing that on you.
You're okay.
I thought it would be fun to not let you think about it. All right. MVP watch.
Mm.
Any changes for you this week?
Yes.
Which, this was a rough week.
It was
for our MVP watch.
Yeah.
What do you got?
So Stafford, obviously he had a two interception game, two TD. I mean, that still puts him at 32-4.
He's allowed to have a bad game.
Yeah, touchdown interception ratio. That's still insanely absurd. I mean, against the Carolina team, that you never know what's going to happen with them. I'm okay with it. It happens, you know. So for me, Stafford still remains number one in my MVP rankings. I actually moved Drake May up to number two.
Okay.
Even though he is, you know, he's playing right now. But Jonathan Taylor, I mean, the skid that the Colts are on right now, he's dropped a third for me. I almost took him out.
Yeah, same.
So, but I'll give him one more week and see if they can turn the tables. And Jonathan Taylor is you know, a focal point. But, I mean, he had a 21-for-85 day yesterday, which isn't phenomenal. So it seems to be that the Colts are kind of stepping down a little bit, especially after the trade deadline, which is a big disappointment for trading for Sauce Gardner.
And he just got injured yesterday.
Yeah, and he what was it, like a calf strain?
Calf strain, yep. They said he's week to week.
Yep, so that's rough on them. So for me, Indianapolis is taking a big step back, but, I mean, they go as Jonathan Taylor goes, and Jonathan Taylor has a pedestrian day, then I feel like the Colts are going to have a pedestrian day. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I agree. So Stafford stayed number one for me. I'm not going to knock him for having his first bad game in damn near 11 weeks,
yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I really so last week, if you didn't listen, I said it was a 2-horse race.
Yeah.
I didn't even name a third player.
Yeah.
I said it was literally Stafford and Jonathan Taylor. I'm still keeping Taylor second, but I'm going to give in to peer pressure.
And, peer pressure.
I'll throw Drake May on there as a number three.
Look at you.
Just I hate it. I have such disdain towards the Patriots. He could be the nicest guy in the world. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, they're 10-2, the best team in the AFC. They're playing right now, so we'll see how they look and how they do.
Mm.
But I kind of feel like Taylor is allowing other candidates to really come into the conversation as far as that potential second place finish with the last few weeks. So Stafford, JT, and then Mac Jones / Drake May.
Yeah, being held scoreless the past 2 weeks hasn't done him any favors in terms of his MVP debate. But it is what it is. I mean, the Colts have just gone back down to reality, unfortunately. But we'll see if they can right the ship.
Yep.
Because, I mean, Houston and Jacksonville are coming in hot.
Yeah, they are. Yep. Yeah. Also, I guess we already answered that question. We both picked Houston. But even with Jacksonville being in first place right now, I still think they're frauds.
Jacksonville?
Frauds.
I think they're a better version of the Enigmas that we come to know as Carolina and
Miami.
Miami. They're a lot more stable, and I think that's more credit to Liam Cohen for being. I think he's done a phenomenal job as a head coach in Jacksonville. But
he's really come a long way from his goofy press conference.
Duval.
What a goober!
What a goober!
All right, so power rankings. We had some changes this week, I would imagine. On your end, maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Just some. I had some small changes, so I'll let you go first.
Yeah. So with the Rams' loss, I actually moved the Pats up, so they are number one on my power rankings. Look at that.
Spare me.
But I only moved the Rams down one spot.
Okay.
They're number two. I mean, I was debating whether to move them down or not, but it is what it is. And then the Broncos at number three, 10-2, another 10-2 team. The Seahawks at number four. And then number five, I was debating back and forth between the Bears and the Packers. I went with the Packers.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Still not giving the Bears any credit.
I want to.
Unbelievable.
I looked at that Caleb Williams stat line, and I was like, how? I mean, is any team really scared of Caleb Williams, to be honest with you? And, I mean, I think he's developed into, like, a game manager sort of thing, but it's more of that running game that people should be scared of. DeAndre Swift and Kamanon guy have been just storming the league right now.
Okay.
Still, the Packers are more
interesting. Well-run. Very interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, the Rams fell for me as well. I had them. So, I flipped one and two for me. So, okay. I have the Seahawks one, Rams two. I also gave the Broncos stayed in my top five, but they fell. They fell down because, again.
They do enough.
Just when I start to think that maybe they're just a really good team who wins close games, they are a two-point conversion away from losing to the Commanders. So I hate that team probably more than anybody because they're very frustrating to watch. They're a good team who just can't close out teams.
I think they just tease all the teams they play. You know what? You know,
yeah, they're
that.
Toying. They're like toying with their food.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So I actually brought the Bears from not on my top five up to number three. I'm buying in on the Bears. I could look like a fool after this week, but
right.
Bears number three. So I moved the Patriots ahead of the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
So Patriots four, Broncos five is where I'm at on my list.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So we'll see. All right. Wrapping it up with our picks. Jeff, I went 2-1 again, 2 weeks in a row.
Can you alert the fan base? So, dude. What cost you the 3-0 perfect season? The Broncos?
The freaking Broncos. So I told you before the show, I am never picking the Broncos to cover ever again. So they were my lock. I thought for sure. -6.5.
Uh-huh.
They had to beat the Commanders by a touchdown. The Marcus Mariota
led
Commanders. So I thought that was as easy as it was going to get. And like I said, it took them to overtime to freaking win the game, much less cover. So they did not cover. So I got that one wrong.
Uh-huh.
But I ran it back again with the Cowboys. They were 2 weeks in a row. I picked them over the Eagles, and then I picked them over the Chiefs. So they Chiefs were favored by three. Cowboys ended up winning that game. And then in our game of the week, I picked the Bears over the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So I went 2-1. So 2 weeks in a row. Well, I'm back.
You're back.
Thank you.
Look at you go. Let's see. For me, I went 3-0.
You suck. You suck so bad.
Oh, so
talk
I have the Seahawks
stealing my joy.
Oh, I try to. I mean, the Seahawks over the Vikings, 10.5 spread. Honestly, I didn't want to say it was going to be a shutout, but I kind of expected it to be a shutout, especially with Max Mrosmer. It just had the feelings of one of those games that was going to happen exactly how I thought it was going to happen. Well, they covered their upset, the Packers or the Lions. That cost you your parlay, so sorry about that. And then the game of the week, I said on here Bears over the Eagles, but I actually had Eagles over the Bears written on here before I changed my mind, like, last second. And I was like, you know what? I'm feeling the Bears. And 3-0. And that game,
I don't even think that should count.
I have it overwritten right here.
Whatever's on the paper is what you're going with.
Oh, man. Well, I said it on live air, Bears over the Eagles.
Unreal.
Oh, man.
I know you did because I was surprised because I thought for sure you were going to pick the Eagles.
Yeah. I was talking like I was going to lead up to the Eagles over the Bears, but I was like, you know what? I'm going with the Bears.
Okay.
So that actually gives me a winning record for the season somehow. 21-20. Look at me go.
Golly. All right. So what do you got this week?
So you know how you stopped picking the Jaguars because you couldn't figure them out?
Yeah.
So my lock is the Broncos over the Raiders.
Oh, my God. What's the spread there?
7.5.
So take it for what it's worth. My lock a few weeks ago was the Broncos over the Raiders.
It was the most disgusting game.
They didn't cover then either.
Yeah, it was 10-7 or something.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
It was on a Thursday, I believe.
Yes, correct.
Yep. So I was looking at their schedule, and I was like, I saw the next three opponents after the Raiders, and I was like, they're not going to blow out any of those teams. It's going to be probably competitive. And I took your kind of motto. It's like, it's got to happen eventually where they just blow somebody out.
Okay.
So I'm...
I hope it's a barn burner. I hope it's a one-point game. What's the spread?
7.5.
Oh no!
So it has to be more than a touchdown. I'm feeling okay. The Broncos.
Love that for me.
Love that for me. And then my upset, I got the Texans over the Chiefs. So Chiefs are actually favored by 3.5.
Okay, I like that one.
Yep. And then our game of the week is the Packers and the Bears. Yep. I got the Packers over the Bears.
I was going to say, after all the crap you've been talking, you better have the Packers. All right. Interesting. Nope. Yeah, I like the Texans over the Chiefs. I almost took that one also.
Okay.
So I'm taking my lock is Seattle. I'm taking Seattle from you this week.
Okay.
-7.5 over Atlanta. I think Atlanta is a borderline train wreck.
Yeah.
If the Jets can beat them, Seattle can definitely beat them by 8 points.
Right.
So I think I feel really good about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Third time's a charm. We'll see if I can get it 3 weeks in a row. I'm running it back with the Cowboys. +3 over Detroit. Especially if St. Brown doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys are a wagon offensively, and say what you want about Jerry Jones, but those defensive trades he has made has made a difference. They have made an impact. So I think that their defense is better. I think not for nothing, they are 3-0 now since their teammate passed away, which has been, galvanizing for that team.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said about that as well. So I'm all in on the Cowboys, and then I'm taking the Bears. This would have to be the first year in a while that they win in Lambeau.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason, because I'm with you where they split.
Yeah.
And the only reason I went with them was because it's in Lambeau.
Okay.
With the Packers. But I mean, if the Bears win this, then they have a stranglehold on that division for
Agreed.
Sure. And I think that's night for that division.
Agreed. We got some freaking great games next week.
Yeah.
We already talked about Thursday night. You kick off with a great one, Cowboys and Lions. 1 o'clock games are awesome. You got the Bills and the Bengals, 4 o'clock game. You got the Packers and the Bears, and then you finish Sunday night with Texans Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an amazing game Thursday, and then at 1, 4, and 8 o'clock on Sunday. So it's going to be a great Sunday worth watching football.
Right. Yeah.
We're in the home stretch.
I mean, honestly, this is all I'm looking forward to now that the Saints are eliminated from the playoffs. What more can I ask for?
I know. Yeah. Yep. Fantasy football playoffs start, 2 weeks from now? I think we got 1 week left.
Yeah.
So this is where champions are made.
Yeah, because this is week 14, right, that we're coming into?
Correct.
Yep, that's usually the last week for
So this normal. Is when it gets interesting.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you're recovering from your food comas for Thanksgiving. And we will see you next week.
Yeah, see you guys.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.